After deadly violence, a ceasefire in Gaza between Hamas and Israel, the big question, will it hold? How long?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The border between Gaza and Israel, a tentative truce has taken hold. Both sides have agreed to a temporary ceasefire brokered by Egypt late last night.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
What Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad have tried to do is to fire rockets at Israeli civilians in order to kill Israeli civilians. Out of those 400 rockets that have been fired, we have been able to intercept more than 100 of those. Unfortunately, a few rockets have been able to impact, and we've had casualties, civilian casualties inside Israel, which is what Hamas and the other terrorists have been aiming to do so.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So we've got this major ceasefire in Israel between Hamas militants who are abiding by the ceasefire, Hamas is, and the militant groups that they control, and that Israel considers under their control. Israel has accepted a ceasefire. There weren't formal announcement last night, but they're not firing back right now. After over 400 rockets and mortars were fired across the border from Gaza Strip into Israel. This is one of the biggest escalations of rocket fire on Israel since the 2014 Gaza War. Now, Israel responded with 160 targeted strikes, but one of these attacks actually included, I think this is important to point out, which was a surprise, a guided missile attack Monday on an Israeli bus. So actually a guided missile, not just the indiscriminate mortars and rockets that are usually fired by Hamas and their militant wings, but a guided missile, which you have to realize, where is that coming from? Likely from Hezbollah via Iran, that they would have this kind of weaponry available to test. It hit a bus. It injured an Israeli soldier and others on the bus. There had been an Israeli citizen killed who was actually Palestinian, which shows some of the indiscriminates of these attacks that occur when Hamas starts firing hundreds of rockets at one time into Israel, and they end up killing a Palestinian Israeli, injuring other Israelis, of course, Jewish Israelis as well. But you can see that most of the time, it's targeted to an area. And of course, it's residential. Of course, it's where schools are, playgrounds are, and places and children would be, homes. And so they kind of point in that direction and fire. But they're not targeted. Now, they have used this one targeted, again, device. We only know of that one missile attack Monday on an Israeli bus that wounded a soldier. Israel has responded, but it has caused significant fallout, this truce between Hamas and Israel inside Israeli politics. I know a lot of you follow that very closely with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his cabinet. We have an office in Israel. Later this first half hour of the broadcast, we're going to be joined by our Director General Rami Levy of the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ Jerusalem, which again is right in the heart of the capital of Israel. But the defense minister, who is very well known, the defense minister, Avigdor Lieberman, has announced he has resigned Wednesday from the cabinet over the ceasefire. Now, when he resigns, that means his party leaves the coalition government. So right now, Prime Minister Netanyahu is governing with only a one-seat majority. So that's the only way he is remaining prime minister right now after Lieberman's party left, is by a one-seat majority. He has 61 out of the 120 seats in Israel's Knesset. So, again, now there have been calls for early elections. We're going to talk about all of this with Rami Levy, and we want to get your reaction to this as well. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. There are House and Senate elections going on today for leadership. We're going to get into that in the second half hour of the broadcast. So we're going to get back into American politics in the second half hour of the broadcast. This first half hour, really want to focus in on what is happening inside Israel, between Israel and Hamas, but also what's happening inside Israeli politics. We can give you that insight here on Jay Sekulow Live and get live updates from Israel, because we've got our team there. We've got an office there. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Let me update you on a ceasefire that was announced just last night between Hamas and Israel. This ceasefire comes after over 400 rockets were fired indiscriminately, other than one that was a guided missile, for the first time used out of Hamas territory in the Gaza Strip. 400 rockets fired indiscriminately into Israel, injuring Israelis, killing an Israeli-Palestinian. Interesting enough there just to point out how most of these rockets are just fired, as we said, indiscriminately. They kind of point towards a town, not towards a military base. They point towards a town, fire there, hits an apartment building, kills an Israeli-Palestinian, injures other Jewish Israelis, but all considered citizens of Israel and are protected by the state of Israel. And then a guided missile is used as well that hits a bus. Now, these are kind of towns that are border towns near the Gaza Strip. I will tell you, visited those many times under these air raids, and sometimes during peace. You can see the Gaza Strip from there. You can see the people moving around, see the buildings, and vice versa. There's a no man's land in between. But I will tell you that with these indiscriminate weapons, that you can just kind of point at a direction, and then you know you're aiming at a town and a village and not a military base. So it's not like you made a mistake by where these rockets and mortars land. You did target the town, the villages. And a lot of these are towns and villages for people who are just moving in Israel to start their life over. A lot of them coming from places like Eastern Europe need to start their economic careers over. This is a lower cost area to live in because of its location. And so they're willing to live there for the economic benefit, even though they face this kind of threat. And again, these are a lot of times new immigrants to Israel, others that have just been in this region for a long time and are unwilling to move. But Israel responded. It's not like they said, okay, we got hit 460 times, we're now going to have a ceasefire. They responded with over 150 targeted strikes, but there has been some palace intrigue in Israel. And I think our audience is up to date enough on Israeli politics that they would want to know, and you would want to know about this. So Prime Minister Netanyahu is very popular in the United States of America, and is a good ally of President Trump. He is now down to a one-vote majority, which is how he becomes prime minister in that coalition-style government. His party has to maintain control with a coalition of other parties of the Knesset there. So it's a one It's a unicameral legislature, not bicameral like ours. And that determines who the prime minister is. Well, last night, his defense minister and his entire political party left over the ceasefire. They said, this is the worst we've seen since the 2014 Gaza war with Hamas. We're not going to put up with these ceasefires. So we're pulling out. There's obviously political moves at stake here. By doing so, they didn't totally undercut the prime minister's ability to lead. He has a one-vote majority. But what we're going to ask Rami Levy, our director general of the ACLJ Jerusalem, is whether or not this will lead to early elections. Was this purely a political move? Again, there are politics going on in Israel. We kind of see it as big picture as Americans. We like Prime Minister Netanyahu. We stand with the state of Israel. Sometimes we need to look past that, see what's happening inside the country as well. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. As, again, a major ceasefire. The question is, can Hamas keep these armed groups that are under their control and actually keep the ceasefire going? I want to take your calls now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Phil is calling in from New York on line one. Phil, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it. I must tell you, my question is really not germane specifically to what you are focusing on.
Okay.
And therefore, I will simply listen, and I thank you so very much for your excellence.
Thanks, Phil. And if you do have a question, though, on, again, the Hamas and Israel, I know that you were talking about this idea of a five-year truce. That obviously hasn't held. I mean, Phil, that obviously is not held between Israel and Hamas, and it's been very difficult to get even months-long truces. And Israel, I'd say, is fairly tolerant in the sense that if it's one or two rockets, they don't respond so aggressively. They may take out those sites. But when you get over 400 rockets fired in a day, one of those being a guided missile that hits a bus, and you have people being killed, people being injured, you have to respond. Israel did respond with over 160 targeted attacks. That means the Palestinians were killed, I'm sure. This is a situation where you've got to either, it's either war or ceasefire. Remember, a ceasefire doesn't mean peace forever. It's just a ceasefire. We're going to stop firing on you if you stop firing on us, and let's see if we can calm this situation down. I want to go right back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Dolly is calling from California, online too. Dolly, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks for taking my call. You know, this program has grown on me. I didn't think I would be so into different topics. I listen to you as I get my children and adults together, and I must say that you guys are awesome.
Thank you so much.
My question today is, I'm a Christian, and I plan on traveling for the second time to Israel in the late April, and we're always on buses. Would it be safe for me to go?
Yeah, I think that it's absolutely safe. I mean, you know the normal risk of travel if you've been to Israel before and the security that is in place to protect those visiting. These attacks are occurring primarily. Now, again, anything can change between now and April, but these attacks are primarily occurring in places you won't be visiting. In the border towns and border cities of Gaza. I visited there as really more of like a journalist and as a reporter to report on what is happening so that I could show people on camera and that my dad could show people on camera what was happening, what it's like to be under that rocket mortar fire that comes in with the Iron Dome system and all of that. That is not Jerusalem. That's not Tel Aviv. It's not the major cities or places that you'll be visiting as a pilgrim, if you will, if you're making a religious trip to Israel. And even if you were on a business trip, this would not be usually the usual locations you would be. So I think you're absolutely fine as of right now. I would not encourage anyone to change their travel plans to Israel. We have constantly staff going back and forth between Israel and the United States and Europe and during times which are much more that have been tougher than this. This is just unique because of the domestic political consequences inside Israel as well, April. I think that's very important. We're going to continue to take your phone calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And Rami Levy is going to give us an update on those Israeli politics when he joins us in the next segment of the broadcast. And then we're getting right back into U.S. politics. The House leadership races, both in the Democrat Party, Republican Party. The Senate leadership races are now done. Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer will be the respective leaders of their party. Mitch McConnell will continue to be the majority leader for the Republican Party. In the House, remember, there's a change in the parties that will hold the positions of leadership, really, when it comes to Speaker. That'll be a Democrat, and a lot of people believe it'll be Nancy Pelosi. It'll also change who's in charge of the committees. And a lot of committees making a lot of comments about what they're going to do already to the Trump administration, or how they'll investigate the Trump administration. Not as much focus on policy coming out of the Democrats. I will tell you that we are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. If you have a question for our Director General in Israel, Rami Levy, he's going to be joining us live in the next segment of the broadcast about this ceasefire, about the rocket attacks, and about, I want to go to you, Than, this change in government with these coalition governments. As you know, as someone heavily involved in politics and policy and the understanding of this, with Lieberman pulling out, when you have an entire political party pull out their coalition and their party out of the governing party, and you leave the prime minister down to just a one-vote majority, I mean, it changes everything. We've seen that in our own political processes before. When you have a one-vote majority, things can crumble pretty fast when it comes to policymaking, decision-making. And in Israel, in these parliamentary-style systems, it can also lead to early elections.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy enough when it's in the United States, Jordan, when you're talking about a bicameral legislature and two parties, when you have a turnover in one chamber but not the other. But I'm fascinated. A one-seat majority now inside for Prime Minister Netanyahu, and the reports are that the education minister, Naftali Bennett, is demanding that he take the defense minister's spot. Otherwise, he would leave the coalition as well. So it's fascinating to see sort of the horse trading that happens behind the scenes. But, Jordan, I'm curious to see what Rami has to say with that. But I just want to stress to our listeners, we shouldn't let us distract us from the point that Israel has to be able to defend itself. I mean, there are debates about how that should happen. Should there be money transferred? Should rockets be fired in response? But, Jordan, they're literally being attacked by their neighbors. It's like Arlington, Virginia, attacking Washington, D.C., where I sit. Israel must have the right to defend itself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have a sophisticated enough audience to talk about both these issues, to talk about that, to also talk about what's going on inside Israeli politics. I think that's something no broadcasts are going to bring to you today that we can live, because we've got a team there in ACLJ Jerusalem. Because of your support for the ACLJ, we're able to have that team. We have a matching challenge right now. Whatever you're able to donate online to ACLJ is doubled. That's at aclj.org. Donate today. It's why we can bring you this news with expert opinion.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
A lot is happening in Israel, and it started earlier this week when over 400 rockets and mortars were fired from the Gaza Strip, the Hamas-controlled Gaza Strip, into Israel. Israel responded with 160 targeted attacks. But there was also a guided missile fired from the Palestinian territory of the Gaza Strip, of the Hamas controls, at an Israeli bus that injured an Israeli soldier. There have been Israelis killed. Because these rocket attacks, it was an Israeli-Palestinian killed in an apartment building by, again, they're indiscriminate rockets other than that one that was guided, but they point in a direction. They point, like, let's point and focus on the community. Let's point and focus on the village or the town and the town center and where the schools are, not at military bases. They don't point there. So that has all occurred. It has led to a ceasefire. And this ceasefire has led to a really kind of a bit of an upheaval inside domestic Israeli politics. I'm bringing on now live our Director General of the ACLJ Jerusalem, former Ambassador Rami Levy. And Rami, let me ask you first about the violence that we saw out of the Gaza Strip. It is the worst when it comes to rocket attacks, these firings, since the 2014 Gaza War. So it's been a while that there's been this level of violence out of Gaza Strip.
Hello from Jerusalem. Thank you, Jordan. Yes, it's been a very violent 48 hours. You and I personally experienced similar violence that happened in 2008 when we together sat on the same hill where the guided anti-tank missile that just hit the bus 48 hours ago. We sat on the same hill covering the cast-led war in Gaza. And what happened since, in the last 10 years, the Hamas and the Islamic Jihad received guided missiles such as that from Iran and from other factions, Islamic factions, and it became a little more dangerous. In addition to that, the Hamas and the Islamic Jihad have received some additional weapons that can target now in a different way Israeli civilian cities. For example, the Iron Dome system now has to deal with 50 rockets that are shot at once. And it used to be one by one or 20 by 20. Now it's 50 together. So, you know, there is a constant escalation in the type of weapons that are used by the Hamas and Islamic Jihad. And the ceasefire was achieved after 48 hours. Now, if I can go into the more complex situation, I'm trying to put the listeners in the chair of Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Yeah.
You know, what happened in the last 12 hours is that our Minister of Defense, Yvette Lieberman, or Avigdor Lieberman, has resigned. He said he resigned because of the weak way Netanyahu retaliated, or the IDF retaliated at the Hamas. I want to try to give the more broad picture of what's facing a prime minister like Netanyahu when deciding to receive a ceasefire such as that.
Right.
And for that, we have to look at the more Middle East situation between the Sunni alliance that is backed by President Trump's administration and Iran, and what Iran is trying to achieve. When Netanyahu decided to do this ceasefire, he understood that if we're going to go stronger into Gaza, we would have civilians killed. Unfortunately, as you saw, Jordan, when you were there with me, the use of human shields is a part of the strategy of the Hamas and the Islamic Jihad. And if we would go in with tanks, like we did in Cast Lead, I believe that civilians would be killed, not because Israel wants to kill them, but because this is the strategy of using human shields of the terrorists. Now, if you look at the broader picture, Israel is in a situation right now where the relationships with the Sunni countries in the region, if it's Saudi Arabia or the UAE, Prime Minister Netanyahu just came back from Oman. Right. There's a formulation of an alliance that it has never been before.
Right.
And when you look into politics inside the streets of the Sunni countries, for example, Jordan, that signed the peace agreement with Israel 1994.
Right.
Since then, the street, which is the Muslim Brothers, have been trying to push to kill that peace process. If Netanyahu would bombard stronger and would continue that escalation in the war, probably more civilians and children would be killed on the Palestinian side, which would be exactly what Hamas wanted or what Iran wanted.
Right.
Because then it would ignite the Muslim Brothers in the Jordanian street and in the other Sunni countries' street. There is a much bigger and broader picture that's happening. We are in very historic days these days. As Netanyahu said, there is more that he cannot say that he can say. But very soon it will be exposed, probably. And the Iranian threat is the biggest threat Israel faces now. In the east and in north, including Hezbollah. And I believe that's the reason that Netanyahu decided to stop when he stopped the escalation. You need to understand that the Israeli electoral system is such that Lieberman, when he decided to resign, did not resign because of Netanyahu's military policy. He resigned because the polls show that in the next elections, it's going to happen anyway, maximum next year, next November, but probably around, if I would have my guess, around September, around March 2025 or so. And if we had more time, if you give me more time, I'll of course explain why I believe it will be then. But Lieberman's decision was a political decision. He was trying to get the polls for his party to go up, trying to face, to appear as the far right, strong hand politician or party. The truth of the matter is that Netanyahu is almost unbeatable. The polls show he's leading by a very, very large majority.
Yep.
And
so what does it do, Rami? We have a minute left. I'm going to keep you on, but before we go into this first break in our first half hour, I'll keep Rami Levy, our director general ACLJ Jerusalem, on. Rami, this idea he's down right now to just a one-seat majority, we see that sometimes, and we don't have coalition governments in the United States, but we see that sometimes in our Senate or even the House of Representatives. But does that require early elections, or is it just more likely that an early election happens when your majority is down to that slim of a number?
No. As long as it's 61, Netanyahu can keep his government.
Yep.
It will be weaker because then any Knesset member can topple the government. But he can survive. If I would be him, I would wait till after his visit to Washington, D.C., which will be mid-March 2019.
We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about that with Rami Levy and let you ask some questions for Rami as well. We come back in our second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live. This is a great reason to support the work of the ACLJ. You're not going to get this kind of reporting anywhere else, any news outlet. Support us, our matching challenge online. Donate to the ACLJ right now.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
On the border between Gaza and Israel, a tentative truce has taken hold. Both sides have agreed to a temporary ceasefire brokered by Egypt late last night.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
And welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. I've carried over Rami Levy, our director general in Israel, to give us an update on this escalated attack by Hamas, led to a ceasefire after Israeli response, which has led to some political changes in Israel, not at the very top, but it's certainly with the governing coalition, which could lead to early elections for prime minister in Israel. So we'll go to Rami on that in a second. If you've got comments and questions, get them in on Facebook and Periscope, as well as at 1-800-684-3110. This is a short segment of the broadcast, so let me go right to Rami. Rami, you were talking about the politics inside Israel. It's very important to our audience. Prime Minister Netanyahu is very popular in the United States. Oftentimes, our news does not go the step further of just covering, you know, the rocket attacks and the ceasefires, and they kind of go right into they just kind of cover that, cover Prime Minister Netanyahu, and they don't go into Israeli politics. But our audience, I know they care about it. So you're predicting that there will be likely early elections in Israel, but it'll be after Prime Minister Netanyahu visits the United States and visits with President Trump.
Yes, you know, it's all depends. I think this would be the wishful thinking of Prime Minister Netanyahu, because, you know, the day the government dissolves, there's a 110 days period until the elections. Now, Netanyahu, also in the last elections, if you remember in 2015, right before the elections, Prime Minister Netanyahu appeared before Congress when Obama was president.
Right.
And he faced Obama very strongly. Just imagine how strong it helped him in the polls in Israel.
Sure.
So, you know, one of the things that Israelis look at when they elect a prime minister is his ability to influence international politics, his relationship with world leaders, especially with our biggest, strongest ally, the United States.
Right.
So what's happening in March, the APEC conference happens in March,
right,
in Washington every year, and Prime Minister Netanyahu is scheduled to speak there. So if he's going to speak at APEC, and the elections will be right afterwards, it's going to give him a very good stage for the elections. So if I would be him, I would shoot for that. Now, saying all that, tonight or the next 72 hours, we will know what the other party coalitions,
right,
are shooting for, which is not really up to Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Right.
For example, Bennett, who is the leader of the Jewish House Party, who is today the Minister of Education, told Prime Minister Netanyahu that if he's not receiving the Ministry of Defense, he's going to resign from the government. If he does that, then the coalition falls.
Right, and then you've got a totally different situation. You'd have to have, if the coalition falls, can you create a new coalition, or do you have to have a new election?
Well, you know, you could create a new coalition, but when you're looking at the political map in Israel,
yeah,
the Labor Party and the and the Zionist Party of Tzipi Livni, who you've met with me in Jerusalem, are the opposition, and I don't see them going into a coalition government while the government has only maximum 12 more months to live.
Got
because
it.
Anyways, we have to go into elections in next November.
Rami, we've got one question coming in that I wanted you to answer from one of our callers. We've only got a minute left in this segment. Tim is calling from Wisconsin. Tim, ask your question quickly for Rami so he can answer it for you. I think he can answer it better than anybody else on the broadcast.
The question I have is, we have Hamas for years that said they're attacking because of Israeli occupation of the land. The question I have is, how can they say that Israel is occupying something that they've never possessed? There's never been a sovereign Palestine. They've never had sovereignty over the land in all of history.
Rami, this, of course, is the bigger debate, but it is why the ceasefires have been so difficult, is that the Hamas charter calls for the destruction of Israel. It's why these are ceasefires, not peace agreements.
Right. First of all, great to hear you, and hello from Jerusalem.
Yep.
I want to say in a very
we've only got 10
way,
seconds so left. Let's carry over Rami, let him finish out his comment as well. I think it's been very interesting. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Folks, this is, I think, a unique broadcast, and it shows you why that when we do these matching challenges to support the work of the ACLJ, and we're able to bring you the news out of Israel. We're not just reading the news from a news packet. But we can go straight to our director general, who is in Jerusalem right now, who's a former ambassador for the state of Israel, Rami Levy, and get updates on what is not just in the news per se, but also what's happening inside Israel, which is also very important for our audience. So it's a great time to donate to the American Center for Law and Justice. Whatever you're able to donate is doubled. That's at ACLJ.org is part of our matching challenge. That's ACLJ.org. After we finish up with Robbie, we're going to get into the domestic politics, what's happening in our own country with these leadership elections in the House and the Senate. So if you want to get into politics in the U.S., get your calls in now. 1-800-684-3110. What's happening with the recount? What's happening with the House leadership races? What's happening with the Senate leadership races? We can tell you about that and get into all of that as well. There's also been a legal opinion that's come out of the Office of Legal Counsel. I'm holding in my hands right now for Facebook and Periscope that says President Trump absolutely has the authority to make Matthew Whitaker the acting attorney general under the laws of the United States, specifically the Vacancies Reform Act, so he can bypass the typical line of succession, if you will, succession in the Department of Justice. But Robbie, we've had a lot of questions about the ceasefire. I want to give you that opportunity. I know we've held you on a couple times, but kind of as a final question to you, and thank you for being on today and spending the time with us during this time in Israel. But the question has been, can these ceasefires really be enforced with Hamas for any long period of time when you have an enemy that is calling for your complete destruction? I mean, that I think it's so important to point out to people these aren't peace agreements like that, the one you mentioned that was signed with Jordan.
Well, again, I'm going back to my first answer. We are in historic times, thanks to the leadership of President Trump. We have new allies in the Middle East. One I did not mention is President Sisi of Egypt, which is 100 million people, a Sunni country, very strong. The relationships with Egypt are like never before, both militarily and diplomatic. So when we're looking at Hamas and Gaza, when looking at Prime Minister Netanyahu sitting in his chair as a prime minister, looking and calculating which moves to make, he understands that today we are very close to a situation where Hamas and the Islamic Jihad in the Gaza Strip are going to be more contained because we have an ally called Egypt. And President Sisi has been very active in achieving those ceasefires. And there are small ceasefires, but we're looking at the bigger picture, which means we're looking at a very much, much longer ceasefire. As you know, the, Hamas has been helping ISIS in Sinai in the last few years against the Egyptian military. So today, the involvement of President Trump, President Sisi from Egypt, the Gulf countries, in this conflict means that we're very close to achieving some other type of ceasefire and some other type of maybe change in political rule and less influence of Iran over Islamic jihad in Gaza, and less influence of Hezbollah with Hamas. One of our biggest worries was the relationship of Hamas and Hezbollah, although one is Shiite and the other one is Sunni. But we will know in the next few months if the big move will work, and I believe it will. I think Prime Minister Netanyahu did the right thing by not going full into a full war with Hamas this time, because we're very close to achieving something completely different.
All right. Rami Levy, our Director General, with this live update from Jerusalem. Rami, we appreciate the time you spent on the broadcast with us today. Thank you very much.
Thank you for all you do for Israel. Thank you.
Thank you, Rami. If you want to support the work of the ACLJ Jerusalem, it's a great time to do it. We have a matching challenge right now. Whatever you're able to donate to the ACLJ is doubled. That is how we get these live updates. You know, we put the show together every day in the mornings and the evenings before and in the mornings of before we go live. And today we decided to get Rami on for this update, not on just the news that we can all report on what's happened in Israel, the ceasefire, the rockets that are fired, the response by Israel, but to get you inside the domestic politics of Israel and some broader thinking as well into strategic thinking of Israel's leadership, like Prime Minister Netanyahu and the decisions they are making, potential for early elections there. And I hope that was very educational, as we did it totally live right now for our audience who cares so much about the state of Israel. I know all of you do and are very interested in that subject and in supporting Israel, but also what's going on in Israel. So support the work of our matching challenge. That's at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. You go to and you'll see the donate button there. Whatever you're able to donate is doubled. Now, turning to our own domestic politics, it's an interesting time. The new members of Congress are arriving in Washington, D.C. to kind of get a tour, if you will, and go through an instruction period about becoming a member of Congress, whether in the House or the Senate. And during that, you're having elections for leadership in the Senate and the House. I want to bring in Than Bennett again. Than is our Director of Government Affairs, as you all know. Than, let people know what who we already know that has been determined to be leaders and then what we're expecting later.
Yeah, well, first of all, I would just tell you, Jordan, that both Bill Nelson and Rick Scott are here because they might potentially be a member of the Senate next time. So Rick Scott actually participated in the leadership elections on the GOP side. Now, Mitch McConnell was elected by what they call acclamation. There was no roll call vote. It was basically unanimous that Mitch McConnell was reelected as the majority leader of the Senate, and Chuck Schumer, the same way, was reelected as the minority leader of the United States Senate. And essentially, Jordan, in the Senate, you had the same slate of leadership on both sides reelected. On the Democrat side, it went right down the line. There were no changes. On the Republican side, the only change was due to a conference rule that term limited John Cornyn from being reelected as the number two spot, the majority whip. So that John Thune is actually going to move up into that spot. He'll be the majority whip. The conference chair will be John Barrasso. The policy committee chair will be Roy Blunt, who moved up from vice chair. And then the one election that you will see, I actually expect results any moment now, will be either Deb Fischer or Joni Ernst moving up into that vice chair spot. That's the number five spot in the United States Senate. But the bottom line takeaway, Jordan, is the same slate of leaderships essentially on both the Republican and the Democrat side are going to be back in place for the next term.
Now, do we see the same thing happening, though, in the House of Representatives, Than? I mean, we know there's some insurgents running, and some of those are good friends of ours. Or is it, we know Paul Ryan is gone. There were, the Republicans will not have the Speaker's office. But they're going to be voting later today as well. I want to get people's thoughts on this, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110, because these leadership positions are very important. They kind of set the tone. They are the people that you see often in the media representing the parties. On the Republican side in the House, so the Senate is going to remain basically the same, but on the Republican side in the House, now, could we see, by the way, before we move to the House, Athan, will we see shakeups in Senate committee leadership?
Yes, that is potential. They're going to wait for the final formulation of the count to see if the margins in the committees are going to remain the same, Jordan. But like, for instance, let me give you one example. In the Senate Judiciary Committee, which we talk a lot about on this broadcast, that had been Chuck Grassley as the chairman, and it had been anticipated that he was going to move over to the Senate Finance Committee. It was a spot that was opened up by the retirement of Orrin Hatch. It's a spot that he's long wanted, and I still think that's the most likely outcome, Jordan. He would move over to be the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, and most likely Lindsey Graham would be elevated to the chairmanship of the Senate Judiciary Committee. But that hasn't formally happened yet. And in theory, Chuck Grassley could remain the same, which would mean you'd probably have a promotion from inside the Senate Finance Committee to that chairmanship. I still think he's going to move over, Jordan, but as you can see, it sort of creates a domino effect. And so you kind of have to take them one spot at a time. You take care of the leadership, then you take care of the top line committee chairmanships, and then, you know, maybe the B and C level committee chairmanships, and then work the vice committee chairmanships from there. So you kind of got to go one domino at a time.
All right. And then into the House of Representatives, Republicans will be, after we're done today, but they will be voting to elect their new minority leadership in the House of Representatives. Some people thought with many retirements and with Paul Ryan going and losing the speakership, losing the power to appoint the committee chairs, that maybe it would be some of these more conservative or Trump-aligned members of Congress that would be taking the realms. Does it appear that way, or does it look like it's going to be the successors to Paul Ryan?
Well, we're about to find out, and it takes a different flavor because, as you know, it doesn't take a majority of the entire House to elect minority leadership. So you're going to have a vote inside the Republican conference in the House today, and that at the top of the ticket, it's going to be Kevin McCarthy versus Jim Jordan. Kevin McCarthy is, by most accounts, the favorite, but look, I think Jim Jordan has a lot of support inside the conference, would only take a majority of the conference. So we will know this afternoon who gets that top spot. The number two spot is going to be continue to be held by Steve Scalise. And then, Jordan, it's expected that Liz Cheney will take over as conference chair. Kathy McMorris Rodgers has moved out. But the spot we don't know about yet, Kevin McCarthy or Jim Jordan to be the minority leader in the House of Representatives.
Liz Cheney, of course, the daughter of former Vice right. President Dick Cheney. So, again, a high-profile Republican into a leadership role. 1-800-684-3110. Last segment coming up. We take all your phone calls. Treat it like open lines. 1-800-684-3110.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, final segment of the broadcast. We take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We got in-depth today with live reports from Israel on the situation there. We've got calls coming in about that still. We want to take those and answer those questions for people. Also talking about the House leadership, Senate leadership. Senate leaderships on both sides of the aisle are going to look about the same to people. So Mitch McConnell, Chuck Schumer, and kind of down from there. House leadership could be very different for is going to be very different for Republicans in the sense that there is going to be a new Republican leader. They will not be Speaker of the House. They will technically be the minority leader. And it will either be, looks like, Kevin McCarthy, which would be in the Paul Ryan. He was number two to Paul Ryan. So that kind of mold. Certainly, though, they're all different. Everybody's unique and different and politically as well. Or Jim Jordan, who is seen as more of a firebrand conservative, works very closely with us here at the ACLJ. That vote is occurring this afternoon after we're on the air, so we'll give you updates on that with tomorrow's broadcast. In the Democrat side, it takes a little bit longer. They're going to have a little bit longer time until the end of the month, post-Thanksgiving. We'll talk about that with them. But let me take these calls on Israel. This is an open line, kind of final segment. So if you got calls and questions you want answered, call in 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 as we talk politics here, situation in Israel. Let's go right to the phones. Carol calling in from Connecticut on line one. Carol, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah, thank you. I was calling just to say that we didn't hear anything about the millions of dollars of payments from Qatar to implement like the ceasefire. And I wonder if you have any information on that, because I was wondering if that is part of the reason that Lieberman...
So it actually, it is part of the reason Lieberman cites. Now, it happened a week before, last week. It happened before this escalation of violence. Israel allowed Qatar to transfer $15 million in cash and to Gaza to pay the salaries of the civil servants and employees of the Hamas-run government. So it's not supposed to go to their militant wing. It's supposed to go to their civil servant wing. Now, you can question how that money is used, but still. It was part of an understanding that would have entailed economic aid for Gaza, including a cash injection and international reconstruction projects in return for Hamas clamping down on border demonstrations and preventing the use of incendiary kites. Yes, I mean kites that have been used and launched across the Israeli into Israel across the border fence. That was in the Washington Post. Now, obviously, that didn't work. The payments may have enriched Hamas, but it did not stop prepare Hamas to be able to stop this huge increase, Carol, in violence. And I think that is part of the issue with Lieberman leaving. So I did want to be clear about that. There were kind of two issues. And then that third issue, which Rami said, is that there's only a year left in this government anyways, maximum, before the next election cycle. So that's kind of how Israel works. It's a coalition government. It's different than what we're used to here. And there's a lot going on behind the scenes when you have, just imagine the United States, like a conservative party, a more conservative party, and then kind of put the Republican Party to the left of that, and then have kind of on down there something in between Republicans and Democrats, something like the Democrats, something like Social Democrats, Liberal Democrats, the Communists, the Socialists, put them all together. And then no one gets a majority, but you have to put together a coalition to form the government. Now, that's how it works in a lot of countries. We are used to this kind of simple system here, and it still gets very complicated as we're still counting votes in Florida and still trying to figure out who the governor of Georgia will be as well. I mean, so and that determines the makeup of the Senate and in the House, and it determines the makeup of how the House, the Senate committees are formed. So will the Mississippi special election. But let me go to Val's call in Israel as well. Val calling in from Pennsylvania online too. Val, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Val.
My question is how is it that every time Israel defends itself against attack, they always being ridiculed? How come
Yeah.
I'd just like to know why.
Sure.
Why
I mean, I think there's this broad kind of anti-Israel sentiment. I think it is anti-Semitism veiled in being anti-Israel. So it's anti-Jewish, if you will, but specifically at these international institutions throughout the world. The world can unite around condemning Israel. I mean, that's just unfortunate. Now, Rami has pointed out some changes in the region, in the Middle East, in the Sunni majority Sunni countries like Egypt and Saudi Arabia and Jordan. But Than, you do a lot of work at the UN. I think to the caller's point, Than's not available right now. Oh, we lost Dan for a second. Okay. But as Dan does a lot of work at the UN and for us, the ACLJ, and as he can tell us, the anti-Israel sentiment there is very intense. So that is why if Israel even takes – so, for instance, this latest situation, over 460 rockets and mortars, including a guided missile, are fired from Hamas into Israel. So from the Gaza Strip into Israel, overseen by Hamas. Israel responds with targeted. They don't just indiscriminately fire back. Let's take down schools. Let's take down. Now Hamas uses human shields at all of its locations, including government facilities. But Israel fires back not with 400, 160 targeted strikes. So again, they target. They don't indiscriminately shoot at civilians like Hamas does. And yet still they are condemned. I think that is, again, so I hope that answers a lot of what is going on in Israel. I think another call we can take and get back into domestic politics here, which we told you we would in this final segment, taking all your phone calls. Bob in Maryland on line one has a call about what's going on in Florida with the elections. Always Florida with the elections. Still, Bob, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for all you do. I just wanted to mention that the situation in Florida, that lady doesn't know what she's doing. If she does know what she's doing, she's corrupt. And it screams for an investigation. I'm just wondering why all these years have passed and nothing has really been done.
You know, I think that it's an appointed position. The fines have been paid by that office before. I don't know, though, that, again, they approve, both parties approve their ballots. They have some complicated ballots in Florida. I'll tell you, like, the Senate race was, like, down here on a ballot if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, and the governor's race is up here. I mean, this is the paper ballots and absentee ballots that get sent out. And it's county by county that has different balloting. So in one county, you'd get one ballot. One county, you'd get a different ballot. Some of this needs to be looked at after this election's over in Florida. I think once the votes are actually counted, Ron DeSantis is going to be governor of Florida. And Rick Scott is going to have unseat and beaten an incumbent Democrat Senator Bill Nelson in Florida, who was kind of had gotten to the point of really not representing the state very well, not being very active in the U.S. Senate. So, honestly, I think that's where it ends up because of the margin, the vote margins. But then I think after that, Florida needs to look at their system before we get into 2020. The RNC and the DNC need to encourage the state to get some resolution done there before the presidential election. I mean, look at the turnout numbers we saw in this election cycle. Imagine what the turnout numbers are going to look like when President Trump is back on the ballot in 2020. And we're getting into that season right now, folks. 20 seconds left. We have provided you with a lot of information today. We can do that about what's happening in our House and Senate, what's happening live from Israel because of your support for the ACLJ. A great time to donate to the American Center for Law and Justice. We have a matching challenge. Whatever you're able to donate is doubled. Do it online at aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.